Okay, well, let's go ahead and convene this meeting of the TRPA Operations and Governments Committee. The date is Wednesday, October 27th, 2021, and the time is 10:31. First item on the agenda is the roll call to determine a quorum. Maria?
Ms. Alding?
Here.
Mrs. Sagaski?
Mark Voloshin is here as proxy for Secretary Sagaski.
Thank you. Ms. Gustafson?
Here.
Mr. Hicks? Ms. Hill?
Here.
Madam Chair, we have a quorum.
Thank you. Now I'll review our meeting rules for the day. To observe and participate in the meeting, please go to www.trpa.gov, select October 27th, 2021 Governing Board Meeting on the calendar and follow the link to the webinar. Members of the public can find all meeting materials there as well. In order to participate in this Operation and Governance Committee meeting with your comments, please utilize the hand-raising function in the GoToWebinar platform at the appropriate agenda item. With your hand raised, you will be unmuted by TRPA staff and have 3 minutes to address the committee. If you contacted the TRPA for a reasonable accommodation and received a unique PIN for dial-in, please make sure, excuse me, you enter the PIN so that you may be identified and unmuted by TRPA staff. You are using the GoToWebinar's Instant Join web app. Please make certain it is open to the Google Chrome browser and that you allow access to your microphone in order to be unmuted. If you are joining via call-in number posted on our website, please note this is a listen-only option. If you wish to address the Operations and Governance Committee, you will need to log in via GoToWebinar on your computer, tablet, or smartphone, or dial your unique PIN number. To committee members, as usual, if you wish to speak, please alert me via the chat function if you are online, or speak up if you are calling in. I don't object to you simply raising your hand so that I can see that you're interested in making a comment or just speaking up. Please set your chat box now to message panelists and organizers to ensure that I see your message. Remote board members may only use the chat function to indicate a desire to speak. This function must not be used to have sidebar conversations. Please remember to mute your mic unless speaking to cut down on background noise. Finally, I would like to have, I think we have all members who are participating today, with the exception of Bud Hicks, and hopefully Barbara will join us via phone to participate in today's meeting. So with that, we'll move to the next item, which is the approval of the agenda. Any changes to the agenda, Chris?
No changes to the agenda.
Okay, thank you. Then we will deem the agenda approved as posted. And I apologize. Yes, Mark, I will be representing Barbara today. My apologies for not mentioning that. And he is participating in this meeting by phone. That brings us to agenda item number two, which is consideration of the September financials. This information can be found on page 81 of your packet. Chris?
I could have the next chart, please. Before I actually talk through the numbers or anything like that, there's some highlights I want to bring to your attention, some of which were in the staff summary. First of all, we've received the cash contribution from California, so we now receive both states' contributions. We'll see that on the cash flow chart, so we have funding for the remainder of the fiscal year. The other highlight was TRPA and TKPOA have signed an MOU now, so we were able to bill TKPOA for the moorings and the shoreline program for the last summer. So that invoice went out. I don't believe it's in our financial numbers yet, but it'll be there next year. But that's a win-win for both organizations in terms of getting that part of the shoreline program nailed down finally. Finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about the financial impacts to the agency of the Caldor fire. I think last month we talked a little bit about what happened with staff and everything like that. But I've collected the costs and things like that associated with the Caldor fire. Some of our priorities were, first of all, we wanted to make sure our staff was protected from an income security standpoint. So we went ahead and we paid everybody, regardless of whether or not they were able to work during the evacuation. And about two-thirds of our staff does live on the South Shore, so we were heavily impacted by that evacuation order. I'm also very proud of the staff. When they got to where they were going, they got back online, and we continued to serve our constituencies, processing permits, making sure our vendors and our employees got paid, and keeping the agency up and running. We did do several other things to protect assets. our IT vendor came in and we pulled all of our IT equipment and moved it down to their facility down in Carson City to protect it. And then once things were done, they moved it all back up here. So kudos to Exogenous and two of the key people in their organization are online today administering this meeting, Warren and Josh. And then finally, we moved our boats up to the North Shore to get them away from Camp Rich for the period of the fire and the evacuation. So kudos to Hawk and some of the others that helped out with that activity. Overall, we also, when the time came to repopulate, we obviously went through, we had our cleaning crew wipe down everything, pick up all the dust particles and ash particles that were inside the building. We had the HVAC contractor come in, change out the filters and clean the HVAC units so that we could repopulate. And then we brought all our equipment back and set up again for operations. No real damage to the building. Of course, we were well away from the actual fire impacts. Overall, I'm estimating the cost right now at about $62,000 for the agency, most of that being in the lost labor category, lost time category. We have insurance, but the policy has a deductible of about $50,000, so I'm not sure it's worth filing a claim for $10,000,
$12,000. Well, all of that, Chris, but I'm assuming it may affect our future premiums if we do.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. The California, the Nevada side obviously wasn't as impacted as the California side. So I'm assuming the insurance companies have lower losses on the Nevada side, but we'll see. We won't know until next summer. On this chart, the only point I'd make is that because we get the state funding right at the beginning of the year and spend it down through the year, it's normal for us to have a substantial net position at this point in the year. That doesn't necessarily... That's not that informative, shall we say. If I could have the next chart, please. What this chart shows, we received 100% of our state revenues. We're about 30% fees for service. That includes AIS fees as well as current planning fees. The grants show very low, but that's because we bill most of our grants in arrears at the end of the quarter. So those invoices are going out as we speak, and that number will jump up next year, next month. On the expense side, compensation is right about where we expect it to be at this point. We are in the process of doing our annual salary merit review cycle. That's why it's a little below 25%. Contracts always have a substantial lag, so it's no surprise that that's so low at this particular point in the year. If I could have the next slide, please. And then just our cash flow, you see the Nevada money came in right away in July. The California money came in September. So we're sitting on a pile of cash, and that will run down over the rest of the year as it has. I've shown the last 3 years here on this graph to kind of show how that runs down. It doesn't quite hit zero at the end because we always have lagging charges and things like that. That's it for my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions anybody might have.
Okay, Chris, thank you so much. Do we have any staff vacancies currently, or have all those positions been filled?
The only opening we have right now is the HR director position that we're recruiting for. I'm sorry. We also have an opening for a data management specialist that we had who's left, who's critical to the transportation modeling activities. So that job posting hasn't gone out yet, but it will come out shortly. All of our other positions are filled at this time. And one of the employees who resigned has actually come back. So our top AIS person, Mason, has returned.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, great. That will help fill the void. Okay. Any members of the committee have any questions of Chris on this agenda item? All right. Mark, did you have any questions?
No, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. In that case, we will move on to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, it doesn't look like we have any public comment for this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll go ahead and close public comment. If there are no further comments by members of the committee, I will entertain a motion to recommend that the Governing Board approve the September financials.
Move to approve.
Go ahead, Alexis.
Move to approve.
All right, thank you. We have a motion. Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mr. Woloshin?
Yes.
This is Barbara Sagowski. I'm here now. Sorry. I got cut off again.
Thank you for joining us.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Aldine?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to item number 3, which is a recommendation to approve the California Tahoe Conservation Land Bank Administrative Fee and Memorandum of Understanding update. Information on this item can be found on page 105 of your packet. But before we cover the MOU, members of CTC staff would like to update the committee on the operation of the land bank. This sort of periodic update on the excess mitigation program and land transactions is part of the existing MOU with the CTC. Is somebody from the CTC here, Kim, or will you be making this presentation?
I was going to introduce them, but let me make sure they are here. There's Jessica. I think we'll have Kevin as well.
Yeah, Kevin should be here as well.
Okay. In the interest of time, Jessica, do you want to go ahead and move forward and hope that Kevin joins us before the end of the presentation?
Yes, no problem at all. There he is, right on time.
All right.
Great. Good morning. My name is Jessica Wackenhut-Lomeli, and I'm the Tahoe Strategic Growth Manager at the Tahoe Conservancy. I'm also joined today by my colleague, Kevin Pryor, who's the Director of Lands at the Tahoe Conservancy. Today, I'll be providing a quick overview of the Tahoe Livable Communities Program, and within that, that's where we host the land bank at the Conservancy. Next slide, please. There we go. Thank you. Just as a reminder, for those of you not familiar with the Tahoe Livable Communities Program, we have three different goals. The first is to acquire, develop properties, remove aging structures, restore the environmentally sensitive lands, and bank or retire the development rights. The second is to sell, lease, or exchange vacant conservancy land in these town centers. And the third is opportunities arise to acquire private properties in several of Lake Tahoe's roadless subdivisions to remove the threat of development. Next slide, please. And overall, what our hope is to acquire and restore properties to promote sustainable communities throughout the California side of the Tahoe Basin. And with this, we have acquisition, restoration, sales, and or redevelopment. And this is done through the sale of coverage, commercial floor area and hard coverage, restoration credit, TAUs, and ERUs. And next, I'll be providing some pictures to show you how we've been implementing some of these transactions. Next slide. So this one was done quite some time ago, but it was a mixed-use building that the Conservancy acquired to allow public access to the lake. From there, we restored the parcel and banked the associated development rights. So along with this, into our land bank, we got CFA coverage and some residential units. And this is on the South Shore, for those of you not familiar. Next slide, please. And this is one of our most common types of transaction, is just getting potential coverage and that going to facilitate residential or commercial buildings. So here you can see a single family home. Next slide, please. And this is another great example of the different restoration projects that we have taking place on some of our properties we've acquired, and we're able to bank that restoration credit. So this is a before picture of the removal of fill and during the restoration. And then next slide, please. This is that same parcel restored. Next slide. Here's another example of other acquisitions with the demolition and restoration. So under the TRPA code, we can transfer the TAUs and ERUs under that, and with conversions and multipliers, they've been able to be applied in various different ways. So in the top picture you see here, you can see Sandy Beach. where there are originally 8 TAUs, and those were converted into 36 TAUs in Tahoe Vista. On the bottom was a fourplex apartment that had ERUs, and that was converted to 24 TAUs in Carnelian Bay. Next slide, please. And this is one of the more relevant projects, I would say, up to this point, of a big redevelopment project taking place. This is one of the first major redevelopment projects in Tahoe City in quite some time. And this is a Tahoe City Lodge where the development rights sale was done through the Conservancy and completed in July of 2019. Next slide, please. Here's another one for those of you familiar with the South Shore. This was the old Smoke Shop and Psychic building. It was acquired in 2012. It was demolished and restored, and so we were able to bank CFA and hard coverage in the SEZ. Next slide. And overall, we've been working a lot on how to improve our land bank program and think about our staffing. We are able to hire new staff in August of this year. We've also been working on various other system improvements, which include a new online citizen portal, so people are able to apply directly for development rights and coverage online. We're able to produce custom reports and separate them by hydro area, also increasing our ADA online accessibility. And we've also been working, since TRPA passed the shoreline plan, a CEQA document for land bank coverage hills that are associated with that PIER program. Next slide, please. Thank you for your time, and I look forward to taking any questions.
Okay, Jessica, thank you so much. That's a pretty some pretty dramatic differences in the landscape, courtesy of the CTC. We appreciate all your hard work and your partnership. Kevin, did you want to add something to the presentation?
Not this time. Jessica covered it really well for us.
Okay, all right. Any member of the committee have any questions for either Jessica or Kevin regarding this presentation? Okay, apparently not. Well, in that case, we will punt to Kim Carringer, who will discuss specifically the proposed amendment to the MOU concerning the administrative fee.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. The action before you is to update the administrative fee in the Conservancy's Memorandum of Understanding. This is a similar action that we took last year with the Nevada Land Bank. So it's making it consistent with both of our MOUs.
Okay, pretty straightforward. All right. Any member of the committee have any questions regarding this item? It's pretty well covered in your packet. Barbara, any questions?
I have none. Thank you very much for asking, though.
You bet. Thank you. I don't know if we've lost. Oh, Cindy, she's there. She's just out of the frame. Well, if no member of the committee has any questions regarding this item, then we will go to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, I'll take a look here and see if we have any public comment for this item. And we do not have any public comment for this item.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And assuming that no member of the committee has any further comments, we will move on to the next portion of this agenda item, and that is a motion to recommend that the Governing Board amend the MOU between TRPA and the Conservancy as shown in Attachment A in your packet. Is there a motion?
I'll make that motion, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. We have a motion. Any discussion? All right, Maria, will you call the roll?
Mrs. Sagowski.
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Okay, thank you. Again, Jessica and Kevin, thank you for joining us here this morning, and thank you for your good work. Take care. All right, that brings us to agenda item number 4, which is a recommendation to approve the release of excess coverage mitigation funds in the amount of $35,000 to the California Tahoe Conservancy for the acquisition of an environmentally sensitive parcel located at 1450 Boca Raton Drive in El Dorado County. Information on this item can be found on page 121 of your packet. Okay, Kim, please proceed.
Thank you again, Madam Chair. So again, this one's fairly straightforward as well. It's an environmentally sensitive land acquisition by the Conservancy, 3.3 acres located in the Upper Truckee floodplain, surrounded by CTC land. It makes sense as part of the program that you just saw to recommend that we release mitigation funds for the acquisition. So they are still on the line, the Conservancy, if you have any particular questions about this acquisition. Let's know.
Okay. All right. Looks pretty straightforward, but does any member of the committee have any questions related to this proposed acquisition? I see people shaking their heads no. Okay. All right. In that case, we'll move on to public comment. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Aria?
Madam Chair, we do not have any public comment for this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we will go ahead and close public comment. And if there are no comments by members of the committee, I will entertain a motion to recommend that the governing board approve the release of these funds subject to the conditions contained in the TRPA CTC Memorandum of Understanding. Is there a motion?
Madam Chair, I'll move. Make that motion.
Thank you, Cindy. We have a motion. Any discussion on that motion? Seeing none, hearing none. Mario, will you please call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski.
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson.
Yes.
Ms. Hill.
Yes.
Ms. Alding.
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Okay, thank you. That brings us to the next item, item number 5, which is a recommendation to approve amendment number 1 of the FY 2022 Transportation Overall Work Program. This information on this item can be found on page 195 of your packet. And Michelle, there you are. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Michelle Glicker, Michelle Glicker, for the record, TRPA Transportation Program Lead. Before you today is Amendment 1 of the 2022 Transportation Overall Work Program. We all refer to that as our OWP. We prepare the work program each year. It lays out our individual planning tasks, products, and our budget by work element. This prep generally starts in February, and this committee approves it, our OWP, about May. So then typically in the late winter, we prepare an amendment for budget reconciliation. This amendment did come a little sooner at the request of Caltrans. So we will be back before you all with another amendment to reconcile other funding sources around February. This slide summarizes the majority of Amendment 1, a very small reduction to our overall budget. So the reduction will not affect our ability to complete the committed tasks in the overall work program. We also use this amendment to adjust timelines on our deliverables as we experience some delays with the Caldor fire. These details are in the staff report on page 200, attachment B. But as for the budget, we included a small cleanup to ensure matching funds were shown correctly in work element 105, that's transportation data and management, as well as in sustainable communities planning 108.5. Funding is now reconciled for a slight reduction of 1670 to our road maintenance and rehab program. Those are the grant funds requested, SB1 funds from California. So today I'm seeking a recommendation of your approval of this amendment to the Lake Tahoe Transportation Overall Work Program and adopting resolution in attachment A. Probably the shortest presentation I've ever had to give before you today. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay, thank you, Michelle. That was very concise. all right. Any member of the committee have any comments or questions regarding this item? Seeing none and hearing none, we will move on to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, we do not have any public comment for this item.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll go ahead and close public comment. If there are no further comments by members of the committee, I'll entertain a motion to recommend to the TMPO Governing Board to adopt the attached resolution approving amendment number one of the 2022 TMPO overall work program as discussed here this morning. Is there a motion?
Motion to adopt the attached resolution.
Okay, thank you, Alexis. All right, any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, hearing none, Maria, will you call the roll?
Mrs. Sagaski?
Yes.
Ms. Gustafson?
Yes.
Ms. Hill?
Yes.
Ms. Alding?
Yes.
Madam Chair, that motion passes.
Okay, great, thank you. All right, that takes us to agenda number six, which is information. It's an informational update on project applications, volume, and processing. Thank you. Michelle's already left. Thank you, Michelle. You're still on the line. Wendy, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you all. Yeah, so thank you for your attention this morning. Tracy, can I have the next slide? There we are. Thank you so much. All righty. So I have a few slides here to present to you, and then I welcome questions at the end. So good morning, everyone. My name, as you know, is Wendy Jepson. I'm the current Planning Division Manager. I'm here to give you an update on application processing in response to a request from Ms. Hill. Next slide, please. I'm going to discuss four items today: application volumes, completeness times, review times, and transitions. Throughout this discussion, you will hear some favorable review times regarding applications. But at the same time, we understand some of you may have had questions about response times from TRPA and processing times of permits. We recognize that there has been some challenges and learning curves for both staff and applicants while we adjusted to working remotely through a record number of applications, a pandemic, online homeschooling, fire evacuations, etc. We are currently working to improve our customer service, especially during these unprecedented times. Next slide, please. All righty. So this slide shows the total number of applications received by year over the last several years. As you can see, at the end of the third quarter of this year in orange, we are on track to receive more applications than any of the previous years. We will likely have close to 1,000 applications submitted in 2021. I want to take a moment to tell you a little bit about a day in the life of a planner at TRPA. Each planner has, on average, about 45 applications currently under review, and each project has a range of complexity. A project like the Event Center counts as one project in our system, but is very different in time requirements from a typical single-family dwelling. A controversial cell tower counts as one application, but takes a good amount of time to answer questions, handle public comment, and take to a public hearing. We also keep a phone log to track calls. We record who called, what the question or concern is, when their call is returned, and how it was resolved. This year, we've had 3,742 calls as of last Friday. Every day, we offer a planner on-call time where anyone can speak to a planner and ask any questions. The planners have a planner on-call shift about once a week, and need to return an average of about 18 calls per shift, as well as take calls about their current projects, status checks, additional information needed, et cetera. Next slide, please. Thank you. All righty. In current planning, we have what we call the 3120. We talk about that all the time. We need to review applications for completeness within 30 days and then issue a permit from a complete application within 120 days. TRPA has received 1,829 applications since the beginning of 2020, and 98.5% met that 30-day target. One important thing I want to bring to your attention is application processing times are reduced 49% when applications are complete at submittal. In other words, projects are permitted almost 50% faster when we have a complete application at the 30-day review time. So to put that in days of review, a complete application takes an average of 41 days to review, and an incomplete application takes an average of 81 days, depending on when the applicant gets their information back to us. It is much more time consuming for the applicant and the planner to work through applications that are incomplete. About 40% of applications are incomplete when submitted or need additional information during review. Next slide, please. This chart shows our 120-day timeline. For the 120-day review, 98.9% met this review requirement. Next slide, please. This is where I want to speak about transitions. Here are the areas that have had transitions or created a new way to work. Electronic submittals. At the start of COVID, TRPA accelerated our conversions to electronic submittals. We went from 8 online applications to 37 different application types being available. You can see the implementation of that in the slide here. The orange is electronic submittal and the blue is a paper submittal. So you can see at the beginning of quarter one, 2019, the difference. And now we still have some consultants who still like paper copies. We're trying to talk them into online submittals, but you can see that blue at the very bottom there goes up a little bit. With this transition, we experienced growing pains as many of our applications, about 40%, as I mentioned, are incomplete when submitted or require additional information. We are working to improve our instructions and to redesign and upgrade our permitting system to better communicate our requirements. We now do all of our review electronically. We review documents, plan sets, approve and acknowledge projects all online. If we receive a hard copy application, we have staff in the office who scan and upload it. We do hear from many applicants and consultants how much they like being able to apply online 24/7, upload additional information as necessary, and receive their permits electronically. COVID-19 changed the way we interact, changed the way we process applications and help customers, changed the way we work. We all learned new meeting platforms and how to work collectively in an online environment. I skipped Shoreline implementation. So Shoreline implementation is a big subject. This is a complex program that is currently being implemented, and there are some policy and procedure bugs to work out. We understand this is an important topic for many who have projects in for review. Fire evacuations. The Caldor Fire was an extremely disruptive event with staff evacuated, dispersed, and setting up new places to work with families in tow. I have to say that the staff did great. As you know, we had everyone by Monday or Tuesday was located in new places. We still had public meetings that week. We're answering questions and calls, so the staff did great. Lastly, customer adaptation. The customer has new and different ways to interact with the planners. Every single day, a planner is available by phone through planner on call shifts to answer any questions. Planners are always available to meet virtually via Zoom, go to meetings, teams, to discuss projects and share plans on screens. Planners are also available to meet in the TRPA offices if needed in a safe manner. Lastly, as you have seen, the planners are working through an extremely high volume of applications, high volume of calls, planner on call shifts, meeting requests, etc. I hope I've explained clearly that they are continuing to do their best under extraordinary circumstances, and I'm very grateful and appreciative of their continued work at the TRPA. Thank you for your time, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Wendy. Alexis, since you're the one who requested this presentation, do you have any questions for Wendy regarding what we've seen here today?
I don't have any questions, Wendy. Thank you for the presentation. This is very helpful for me when responding to constituents that have concerns. And understanding that, you know, the incomplete application situation is a major one. And we've been dealing with that with short-term rentals where about half of our applicants are failing the inspection the first time. So it's taking longer for us to get those permits processed. So I look forward to hearing updates on, you know, your electronic submittal and how that all goes once you work out the bugs. But I think that this is a very informative report, and I'll make sure to pass on this information when I speak to people who are concerned in the community.
Thank you, Alexis. Also, please don't hesitate to either contact me directly or have them call me directly. Sometimes there's a missing, you know, communication. They were told they have to talk to TRPA. They don't really have to, or you know, they didn't understand they were incomplete or whatever. So I'm very happy to talk with people directly. So please don't hesitate.
Thank you, Wendy.
Wendy, I don't want to make work extra work for you, but would it be useful to have kind of prepare a Q&A to accompany application forms, you know, kind of identifying the most common mistakes made by applicants? I know you're doing your best to explain to them that their application is not going to be processed as quickly if they don't, you know, fill out the application completely or accurately, but I'm wondering if you just kind of identified some of the common errors made by applicants, that might be helpful.
Thank you, Shelley. It's a great idea. We are trying to do that. We have so many different kinds, but we certainly have more that are more popular than others. We're trying check boxes. Like if you ever go to a website and you have to do something, they say you check, I'm not a robot. We do that. You know, we do those kind of things, and we are working on that, and that's a great idea. How to better, you know, on the DMV website, you can't move forward on to the next page until you have everything correct. Right now, we make it pretty easy to get through it, so we're working on some checks and balances there. But thank you for that.
So how's your call volume? You've got one planner on staff each day responding to calls. I mean, is that person being overwhelmed or underwhelmed by people calling, especially to ask questions about how to properly complete an application?
Right. We have a couple things happening there. We have the planner on call shifts where people can just call and say, hey, can I build? I just bought this house. And then we also have the intake team that reviews every application as it comes in and then emails back or calls back for, hey, sir, you only updated plans. We need a signature. We need application. We need, you know, whatever documents, you know, we need from you. So that is a little time consuming getting the back and forth through emails and phone calls. And so that person is, we've recently hired another planner to help with that, we have an intake planner and then another kind of planner who's helping with intake and doing some simpler review to kind of relieve some of the planners who are doing the more complex review. So we are, it depends on the month, like during the fire month, things obviously slow down a little bit, but right now we're still having a big increase. So we are managing it. And then we also have other planners who will step in to help as well. So I would say not underwhelmed. I'd say for sure we're at the limits of how much we can do.
Okay. Well, listen, kudos to you and other members of staff. I mean, you're very nimble and, you know, circumstances require that. And, you know, you're going to have to continue to, you know, drag people into the 21st century with respect to how they do business, they're kicking and screaming, but eventually you'll get there. So any other questions by members of the committee of Wendy before we move to public comment? Okay. Thank you, Wendy. Then we will go ahead and open public comment on this item. If any members of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, we do not have any public comment for this item.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and close public comment. And again, this was informational only. Thank you again, Wendy, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. I appreciate your time. Bye-bye.
Excellent. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, that brings us to agenda item number 7, which is the Quarterly Treasurer's Report, which can be found on page 333 of your packet. Chris?
Thank you. For the record, Chris Tyler, Finance Director. If I could have the first chart, please. These pie charts just kind of show the distribution of our investments in the Wells Fargo pool. You can see that there was an error. I apologize. In the staff summary, it said corporate was at 4%. It's actually at 5%. But we're mostly in investment pools, like Lafe and LGIP, and in treasury securities. And the maturities are all below 3 years. So it all meets our investment criteria. If I could have the next chart, please. And all the ratings are in good shape, although very little of the pool is actually rated because the U.S. Treasuries and the investment pools aren't rated. Next chart, please. Next month, Bruce Remington, who is our investment advisor, will be coming before the committee and doing his annual review with you. He can better talk to rates and things like that, where the markets are going, than I can. They will also talk a little bit because Wells Fargo has sold this particular operation to the Principal Group. So Bruce and his team are all moving over to Principal Group probably in the first quarter of next year. That's been postponed a couple of times. They've had some issues making sure the database and the IT systems are fully integrated, or can be fully integrated, and that we don't lose any track of any data or anything like that. So I would like to defer a little bit of the conversation about rates and stuff until next year. The Wells Fargo pool has not done overly well, but it's competitive to short-term rates. And really, at this point, the yield curve is almost flat out past 2 years. So given that our investment policy keeps us from investing too long, it's pretty hard for us to chase pretty good yields right now. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
We're not losing any principal, right?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much. Any member of the committee have any questions regarding the treasurer's report for this quarter? Okay, seeing none. Barbara, did you have any questions?
I do not, and thank you, Madam Chair. I really appreciate you always asking, but I do not have any questions, and thank you for the information.
All right, thank you, Barbara. We'll now go to public comment on this item. If any member of the public wishes to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, looks like we do not have any public comment for this item.
Okay, then we'll go ahead and close public comment. And again, this item was informational only. And that brings us to upcoming topics, which is item number 8 on the agenda. Chris, other than having Bruce Remington join us next month, what else can we look forward to?
All right. Well, in November, we have two things in addition to the usual materials. One is the annual inflation adjustment for our planning fees. So we're bringing that to you. We usually have to get that approved this time of year so that we can give adequate notice out to all the local jurisdictions so they can make necessary adjustments on their fees as well. And then we'll implement at some point in January. And then we will have Bruce come in to talk about the performance of the Wells Fargo investment pool and to give you any insights he has in terms of government securities and interest rates. Then in December, we have the big one, which is hopefully our independent audit report. The audit's going well. We are making our deadlines. It will be tight to get that in time for the early December board meeting, but we're still on track to do so. And so I do want to reserve as much time as possible in December for that so that you have a chance to fully interact with our outside audit firm and stuff like that. And then in the future, we'll talk some more about the building repairs and modifications. Unfortunately, we were not able to get the roof done before our rain event. The atmospheric river did find its way inside our offices. We did have leaks in the ceiling in a couple of places. No disasters or no major losses or anything like that, but we had buckets out on the floor to catch the rain off and things like that. So we definitely need to do the roof. The challenge now, all the contractors fell behind because of Caldor fire and things like that. So our challenge now is just to get on their schedule so that they actually perform the work as soon as we can come spring. And some of the work we've done will be internal when we reconfigure the front counter area, so we can do that during the winter months. And the other thing is, I think I've indicated to some of you that we're relooking at our planning software. We don't feel that it meets our immediate needs, our current needs in terms of how we want to operate the current planning department. And we'll be bringing you a little presentation where we've had an RFP out on the street. We're evaluating inputs and we're planning out what we want to do and how we want to do in terms of updating that key piece of applicant facing software.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. I'm assuming because of the difficulty in mobilizing contractors, we can't patch the roof in the interim, Chris, if we have to wait until next year to actually replace it.
We had done some, there's a product, it's kind of like you use a mop to spread it on the roof, but it creates an impermeable barrier. And we put that down along the western edge of the building, which is where we've had all of our big leak problems. And that worked. It didn't leak there. It leaked in other parts of the building. So,
it just redirected leaks to other parts of the building.
Yeah. So we could probably put some more of that product down if we get some good days where the temperature is above, I forget what the minimum temperature is. I think it needs to be 50 degrees or 40 degrees or something like that. So you might be able to do a little bit of patching.
Okay. Okay.
Hopefully we will not have another record setting atmospheric river hitting us. I don't have a rainfall amount for the office building itself, but obviously it was huge throughout the South Shore.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Chris. Okay. Any member of the committee have any questions for Chris on any of the upcoming items on our agenda? All right. Seeing none, Barbara, do you have any comments or questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do not. Thank you very much for the briefings and for all the information. Totally appreciate it. And I appreciate Mark. He's been great. Thanks.
All right. Thank you. Then we'll go ahead and move on to public comment. Any member of the public wishing to address the Operations and Governance Committee on this agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, we do not have any public comment. Final public comment.
All right. Thank you. Then we'll go ahead and close public comment. And again, this was informational only. We'll move on to agenda number 9, which is last opportunity for committee members to make comments. Alexis, Cindy, Barbara, anyone? Okay. All right. Then we will go ahead and move on to our last public interest comment period. Any member of the public wishing to address the committee on this on any agenda item, please raise your hand now in the GoToWebinar to be unmuted by TRPA staff. Maria?
Madam Chair, we do not have any public comment.
Okay, then we will close our last public comment period and I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
All right, we have a motion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? All right. Thank you, everyone. And the TRPA Governing Board meeting will be taking place on this platform, beginning at a time dependent upon when the legal committee adjourns. And